and an amen. All right. Y'all turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of James, chapter 2. James 2. I'm going to be in a vein tonight that is different from where we've been in the past. Eight weeks ago, something like that, we did a couple Wednesday nights on stewardship. And we were talking about, it was when we were doing our study on Jacob and all of these things. And we were did a couple studies on stewardship, and we talked about, the significance of stewarding things that God has placed in our hand, stewarding things that God has the giftings that God has given us, and we really looked at those things. I had a really good couple weeks down in Daytona, other than being inundated with the F-bomb more than any human should be hammered with that. But if you get past that, I had a great 2 weeks down there, very good and profitable for the company. But we had some cool spiritual stuff happen this time. I had probably had greater liberty in sharing and releasing kingdom and the gospel to people. I mean, just some good wow encounters that were really awesome. And I could really just sit up here for about 45 minutes and testify to some stuff that God did. Lori went for a massage one day with her back really knots up and all of that stuff, and she was, especially when she's fatigued, and when we got down there, her back was just like, huge, tenderloin looking thing sticking out and all that and swelling and everything, and she goes to get a therapeutic massage, and those things hurt me, but it helps her on her back. And so she went over to the found one of the spas that was local and all that, and she went and she got a massage. And when she got through with the massage and she came out, and the lady had been working on her and everything, and when she came out from the massage, it was just one of the employees that did her massage. But when she came up out, the owner came up to her. And the lady would come to find out she was from Columbia, but the owner came up to her and she said, "You're a spirit-filled woman, aren't you?" And Lori's like, "Well, yeah, matter of fact, I am." She said, "Who in your family is a missionary right now?" And she said, "Well, my nephew is." And she began to give Lori a word for us concerning Grant, and just began to release that into her. And it was, man, it was so cool. And then on the heel of that, she said, or the tail end of that, she said, the Father told me," and I love that. She said, "The Father told me." You know somebody, man, somebody's got to relate when they said, "The Father told me." But she said, "The Father told me you've got a bone spur in your right heel, and that the Father wants to heal that, and I want to pray for you, because God's, He healed one of my children," and da-da-da-da-da, and all that. And she's just right there. I mean, didn't know Lori from nothing, and comes up and just like, "You're a spirit-filled woman, aren't you?" That, y'all know that's not good for business. In the natural. So that was real cool, and Lori was really buzzing about that and everything. We had, and I'm going to be real brief, but this is going to launch us into the Bible study tonight. We were doing installs on the handlebars, or Rhett and Brett were doing installs, and me and Randy were just kind of the used car salesman and all of this stuff. But we had a couple, I want to say from the Carolinas maybe, somewhere like that. I think it was North Carolina. But anyway, we did an install for them, and Randy got talking to them and everything. And they had a daughter that was a missionary, and she did photography and videography for the mission teams and trips that went out and all of this stuff. And Randy just had a real good. And I was didn't even know anything about it. I was busy doing my other thing with other people and all of that stuff. And just Randy had just a real good encounter with them and everything. And somehow it come up in the thing that I was a pastor of the church and all of that stuff. And they came back by the next day and were getting something done somewhere else. And the woman came over there. And, you're busy, and it's, just a lot of people around, and just, constant, and you see all kind of, yahoos and everything else and all of that. Well, they come back, and me and the woman get to talking just kingdom stuff. And we're out there in front of our, we've got all our stuff going on here, and Brett and Rhett's busy working on motorcycles and out here, and Randy's talking to people. Me and the lady are standing out here, and all these people come out, and we get talking kingdom stuff, and both of us are just sitting out there just crying like crazy, you know, and it's like we're taking our glasses off and wiping our face. And I'm like, man, I'm sorry. And she's, oh, I'm sorry. I'm just this. I'm just, you know. And the Holy Ghost just sat down. And it was just like, whew. Because nothing else does that to you. Nothing else can make you feel that way. Nothing else can stir in you. You know, if we'd do an install and somebody'd pay in cash and I'd slide a little stack of $100 bills in my pocket, you know, the place, ooh, that feels pretty good right there, you know, when my pants get bulging a little bit and I got a little money in there and all that stuff. But it don't sit there and make me cry out in the middle of a thing with all of these passerbys. But the Holy Spirit does that with a complete stranger. So just some real cool stuff. And the reason I say this is just to brag on Him and just to glorify my Father, because, man, God so wants to be relevant everywhere you go and everything you do. I had an awesome, I was so pumped. I mean, I was just like fired up after that. It was the last Friday of the rally, and typically that's one of our craziest days. And for some whatever reason, we had a really, really good rally. But for whatever reason, that day was a little bit slower than normal. And I'm like, I don't get it. You know, usually it's just like mass chaos. You know, you don't eat lunch until 3:30, you know, one of those days. But it was just a little bit slower in all of this. But I had an individual come, and he was getting a set of handlebars installed. And because it was slower, and he came over, and he and I just began talking. And he was from Atlanta. And he was asking me about the business, and so I was just sharing a little bit about the business and our background and all that stuff. And I said, you know, I'm, you know, we I own the business, and we, you know, we've been doing this for 4 years, and I've, you know, made handlebars for Harley for 29 years before we started the business, and da 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 and all that. And I said, but I pastor a church also. And he's like, you know, and he kind of perked up when I said I pastor a church also. He said, well, let me ask you a question. He said, I'm not trying to get you in a trap or anything as far as doctrinal stuff. But he said, I got a question I need to ask you. And he said, the reason I'm asking is, he said, I lead a life group in my church over in Marietta. And he said, I had this question asked me the other night in life group. And he said, I just want to get your take on it and all. And he said, you know, over in Revelation where it says that we will be judged according to our works. He said, is that talking about stewardship, or what's that talking about? Because I feel like it's talking about stewardship. I said, absolutely. I said, it's not talking about heaven or hell. I said, because the Word says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, you know, lest any man should boast, but it's a gift of God. And I said, so it's absolutely talking about our stewardship in that. And so I began to share with him on the different aspects and different veins of stewardship. We, of course, I talked about the stewardship of what is in our hand, the stuff that we have. I began to talk about the stewardship of the giftings that we have, you know, the things that God has anointed us with or gifted us with and those things and all of these things. And it was really cool because I just kind of shut down what I was doing and let them handle it and spent about really 30 to 45 minutes with this guy, which is never happens. And so I went down, and he's sitting there, and we're just sitting in two chairs over here, and he's just soaking it up like a sponge. And God carried me down a vein, and this is what I'm going to teach on tonight. But God began to carry me down a vein of stewardship of opportunity. And how do we steward opportunity, and how do we steward promptings from the Lord? Okay? When God stirs in us, and God speaks to us, and God presents opportunity, how do we steward that? And I began to go down that vein because I felt real, real strong with the Lord to do that. And I know why in a minute. I'll share with you in a minute. But I talked about King Saul. And I said, man, look at King Saul. I said, he had an opportunity to be a deliverer for Israel. And God put him in this position and all of this. And I said, he totally blew it and all. And then I began to talk about just use me and Lori on a couple examples from last year and then just recently. And I said, you know, last year, I said, a perfect example, tying it in with the business. I said, the Lord, we've got friends that are pastors in South Carolina. And they've been in this revival for like 2 years. And I said, we listen to all the live stream podcasts and all of these things. And I said, but God really prompted us that we needed to drive to South Carolina for the meeting, specific weekend, specific meetings. And I said, we drove up there. We were obedient to the word. We drove up there. I said, God gave us a specific word that night among 500 people. And I said, immediately that week it came to pass. And I got specific with him, and I shared detail on it and everything, you know. And he's just kind of sitting there saying, wow, man. You know, I said, we were good stewards of the opportunity that God presented us with, and that's why we received a breakthrough. I said, I do not believe we would have received the same level of breakthrough if we'd not been good stewards of that opportunity. I said, another example, I said, we're about to fly to California. I said, there's an Azusa now. I said, are you familiar with Lou Engle or anything? He said, no, not really. I said, have you ever heard of The Call? He said, yeah, I've heard of The Call. And I said, he's a big Andy Stanley guy. And I said, I love Andy Stanley. He's awesome, man, and everything. But he had heard of The Call. I said, well, and just gave him just a real brief synopsis of it's. I said, it's the 110th anniversary of Azusa Street and the revival that took place there. And that's the birthplace of the Pentecostal Church in America. And there's all these prophetic words and all this. And I said, you know, they've rented Memorial Coliseum and you know, 110,000, 120,000 people are going to be there for this specific purpose and all of this stuff. And I said, me and my wife just feel a real strong push that we need to be out there. And so, you know, we bought plane tickets and got rental car and getting a hotel and all of these things because we feel like it is an opportunity because the Lord spoke it to us. Because I hadn't been to any of the other calls. I've watched some of them with live streaming and things like that, but I've not attended any of them, okay? I haven't had the strong push, or at least I was not in tune and receptive to the push, all right? I'm going to build on this. We're going to teach y'all this. But I said, we feel a real strong push that we're supposed to be there because I feel like, number one, we're going to be a part of something historic. Number two, I believe that God's going to impart something into me and Lori. And I said, number three, I feel like God's going to put something in us to bring back to Bremen, Georgia, to Victory Fellowship Church. And I said, so we're going to be obedient to the opportunity that God has presented us, and we're going to do that. We're going to do that. Y'all remind me in a minute. Do not let me forget this. This is very, very important, okay? Y'all remind me if I get caught up in my teaching, somebody flag me and make me stop and go to the cost, what may be a paying above what we think is a bargain price for something because the opportunity is there. So y'all remind me to hit that, okay? I do not want to miss that point tonight because that's an important point. God spoke that to me talking to Gordon and Anita yesterday. But I told him, I said, we're going to be obedient, but I said, we want to be good stewards of the opportunity. You know what he said to me? He said, how do you hear from God like that? He said, I went down this path with him. He said, how do you hear from God like that? He said, I don't hear from God like that. He said, I read the Bible and I get what the Bible's saying and I hear God like that. And I can listen to a sermon and I can, you know, I can get good truth and I hear God like that. But he said, how do you hear God when he just prompts you and says, I want you to go to South Carolina to a specific meeting, or I want you to fly to California and go to a specific meeting? There's meetings everywhere. He said, how do you hear from God like that? I said, I'm glad you asked that question. I said, if you'll let me share my testimony with you, I said, I'll give you the answer to that question, because I said, I've got the answer for you. And so I took the next 15 minutes and I shared our testimony about what God had done in our life and all of that. And then I came to the end of it and I said, now I've got the answer for you. I said, it's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And all this is going on under our KST tent. While Renton and them are installing handlebars and Randy's selling stuff and all of these people are coming by. And I said, the answer is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I sit there with this small group leader that goes to a Baptist church in Marietta. And I had the opportunity to carry him through the book of Acts and share with him from personal testimony and scripturally about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how it can radically change his life. And I'm just kind of like, yay, God. That was just cool as all get out to me. I was pumped up. James called me a few minutes later, just like 10 minutes after the guy walked out, and asked me a question about business at the shop. And I'm like, dude, I ain't worried about the shop. Let me tell you what just happened. You know, he's like, we need to get some material in here. I need 2,000 foot of this or this. I'm, dude, I ain't worried about that right now. Let me tell you what just happened. And I was so pumped. But it was so cool because God played this whole thing out so I could come in and share with this man about a key that will unlock stuff in his life. I hope that it stirred an appetite in him. Because that's what happened with me. I knew people that had something that I didn't have, and it made me hungry for it. And I shared that with him. I'm like, dude, I used to pastor Baptist church. Nothing wrong with it. It's awesome. So, man, I got saved. I grew up. I got saved in a Baptist church. This foundational stuff was tremendous. Taught me how to study and be disciplined and things like that. But I said, God started doing this and this and this and this. And of course, I started telling him about Lori getting whacked out in the Holy Ghost and my brother laying on stone cold dead for 45 minutes. I didn't leave no stone unturned. It was like, it's on now, baby. You know, and he's sitting there the whole time just like, soaking it up. So here's my thing, though. God carried me down this path of us being stewards of opportunity. I feel like we fail in stewardship on that more than we do any other area. You know you're anointed to lead worship. You know you're anointed. You've got an amazing voice, and you know you're anointed to use that gifting. Cindy, you're a worshiper. You know that. You know you're anointed to do that. And because we know that, Jeremy, you know that you are called to preach the gospel. And that is inescapable for you. Even when you don't feel like doing it, even when you might be ticked off at God, even when you might be so, God, them's your people. You can kill them if you want to. You are afraid to say no to that calling because you understand the thing of stewardship on that. You're afraid to say no to the mantle that's placed on your life, Brett House. You get that. You so revere and fear God, you're afraid to ever walk away from that. And I hope you keep that. It doesn't matter if you're having a good week, good month, good year, or whatever. You have enough respect and trust and love of the mantle that God has put and the calling that He has put on you that you know that my life would be purity hell if I walked away from that. So we get that. We get, I feel like, to a great deal, stewardship of giftings, stewardship of callings, and we try to, I know we kind of float in and out, but to the best of our ability, we try to be faithful in that. We try to be faithful with our resources, with our dollars, with our facility, with our property, you know? I'm proud of the fact that our church, you know, we give 15% of our offering. We're probably 15% of our offering. Of everything that you put in that plate, 15% of that goes to ministries outside this house. It goes to missionaries. It goes to feeding programs. It goes to the Jeff Bones. It goes to the No Longer Bounds, the Blake House. It goes to CCC. It goes to all of these different, to Heidi Baker. It goes to these, and I'm real proud. We get that, TW. And we don't begrudge that. God, you gave me this. I've got a responsibility. I'm going to be a good steward of that. But I feel like the area that we as Christians drop the ball the most is in the area of stewarding opportunity. It's in the area of stewarding opportunity. Let's read some scripture. I want to back this up. Y'all know if you read some scripture, it validates everything, right? Okay, let me get a little water. I got back to Georgia and there was pollen everywhere. It's actually pollen down there. We're going to start in verse James chapter 2, verse 19. It says, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, And it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Now here's where I really want to get. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. I want to kind of launch off with the testimony of being able to minister to that guy and going down the vein of the stewardship of opportunity. But I want to launch off verse 25 right here. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. Is everybody in here familiar with the story of Rahab? Everybody remember that? The spies came in. They came to Jericho. They were spying everything out, checking all of this stuff out. Rahab had a house. Her house was on the city wall. They came in unto her, and she hid them and sent them out another way. And because I believe that Rahab recognized that the God of the Israelites, something stirred in her, was much greater than her gods, much greater than the gods of her people. And so she said, you know what I'm going to do? I have an opportunity here to connect myself with the God of Israel, because she had heard of His great works. She didn't hear how great they were. That was not the testimony that was going on. It wasn't that, man, these Israelis, they some bad people. They big, they strong, they mean, they got all of these, great armies and all that stuff. But everything about it was the God of Israel. That they serve a God that is strong and mighty and terrible and loves them above everything else. That was, to me, that was the greatest testimony of the God of Israel, is that if you mess with them, you're going to get the wrath of their God. How about that? It wasn't that he was going to prostitute himself out to whoever. He loved his people so much so that he said, I will defend my people. I will protect my people. I'll be the God of my people. And so that was the reputation. And so Rahab, even though that she wasn't qualified. She was a prostitute. Wasn't even saved. But she saw opportunity and she seized opportunity. I could go through the Bible and just repeat countless over and over and over and over and over again. I heard y'all had a phenomenal services while I was gone, and I love that. I'm not jealous of that. I'm just like, yes. I tried to text the guys before every service because I was praying for them every night before, on Tuesday night. I'd try to text them, man, I'm praying for you guys. I didn't know who was going to be preaching or teaching. I'm praying for you guys. I'm praying for the services. And that day it would be on my mind. I would be thinking about that and all. And I heard y'all had just some phenomenal services while we were gone. I heard Sunday was just so cool and so unique. And the thing that I loved about Sunday that I heard that I liked the most was that you were led by the Spirit of God, Brett, and you were listening to His voice, and you were calling out specific individuals, and you were saying, Gordon and Anita. You know what Anita's testimony to me was yesterday morning? I'll share this. She won't mind me sharing this. She was mad at God Sunday. She said, I wouldn't even go to church, and Gordon said, we're going to church. Sometimes when you head the head of the house, you've got to say, this is what we're going to do. We could preach on that a while. She said, I was mad at God Sunday because they're trying to buy some land and trying to sell their house. And somebody came in. I don't know if you know the story or not. Somebody come in and put an offer in on their house and all of that stuff. And they're like, yes. And then talking the real estate joke, the joker had put an offer in their house, ain't got a pot to pee in. So that ain't going to happen and all that stuff. And they're like, really, God, really? And Anita said, I was mad at God, but I came to church anyway. And in Brett House, calls me out. Tells me to come down here and stand as a memorial. And I was so pumped because I knew you'd been in Wichita all week. And I know what it's like to be away at work, and that's sometimes not the, I'm not saying you were out at, you know, a strip club with the guys drinking and all of that stuff. I'm not saying that at all. But I know that it's easy to get when you're away at work, you're away at work. And you're focused on business, and you're focused on this, and you're focused on that, and you're probably not just lost in the Holy Ghost, just, you know, every night getting trashed in His presence and all of that stuff. And I knew that was the week that you had, but you came into a place Sunday morning, and you were sitting here, and you were hearing the voice of God, and He's like, Gordon and Anita, I need y'all to come and stand down here. Matt Reese, I need you to come and stand over here. Tana, I need you to come down. And Tanya, I need you to come down, and I need you to stand down here. Because you're a memorial for something. And then visitors that were here. Anybody been saved, and a young man, and y'all come down. And the only that's not something orchestrated. That's hearing the voice of God. Recognizing opportunity. That it's not thunder. It's not angelic activity, not just angelic activity, but it's a specific voice of the Lord. That thrilled me for you. That thrilled me for you. Because I know what that does for you as a man. I know what that does for you as a minister. I know what it does. And you know what you were in that moment? You were a good steward of opportunity. You weren't being a steward of your calling. You were doing that when you said yes to filling the pulpit. When I came to you and Jeremy and I was like, guys, I'm going to be gone 3 Sunday services. 2 weeks, but 3 Sunday services. And I need y'all to fill in. And neither one of them said, well, now, you know, man, I'm, you know, they said, yeah. They said, we'll get together and we'll work the schedule out. You were being a steward of your calling when you did that. But when you flowed in what you flowed in Sunday morning, you weren't being a steward of your calling. You were being a steward of opportunity. You were being a steward of the Father speaking something specifically to you. And you releasing that. And you weren't afraid to offend somebody. You probably didn't know Anita was mad at God Sunday morning, did you? If you would have known that, you might not have asked her to come down here. I praise God you weren't worried about offending a visitor because you saw an opportunity to say and do something that was unique because the Father was speaking something unique. And it's trusting in the moment and trusting in the opportunity and saying yes to that. And that's what Rahab did right here, guys. And we've got to get past. You know what? We're a good bunch of church people that love Jesus. That's what our church is. But God wants us to be more than that. Shoot, we've been that for 20 years. I've been a good boy that loved Jesus for 20 years. But God wants me to be more than that. He doesn't want me just to steward what's in my hand. He doesn't want me to steward just the calling or the anointing that He's placed on my life. He wants me to steward every opportunity as it's set before us. Me and Brett had a meeting with the guy from Drag Specialties. I don't know if you know who Drag Specialty is, but they're the largest parts and accessory distributor of motorcycle parts in the world. In the world. Brett told me that they were UPS's number 2 customer. You're pretty big if you're UPS's number 2 customer in the world. Well, me and Brett were having a meeting with a decision maker on whether or not they're going to start carrying our stuff. You know what that could potentially do for us? And Brett talked to him. Brett had him for about 20, 30 minutes before I got involved in the in the thing. And we knew we had talked before. Brett had talked with him before and all of this stuff before we went down. We knew we were going to be meeting him down there and all. But we came in, and Brett was Brett. He wasn't trying to put on the, this is who I am and this is who we are. And when I got involved, I began to talk to him, and we were talking about business and possible business opportunities and all of this stuff. And, you know, their catalog's already out for this year, and the next catalog won't be released until January of next year. And so it might be January if we start doing business, it might be January and all that. And I looked at him and I told him, I said, I'm not worried about timing, I said, because we're a Christian company. And I said, our trust and our hope is in Him. And I said, His timing is perfect, so we don't sweat stuff like that. I said, He opens doors when He wants to open doors, and He closes doors when He wants to close doors. I said, we're not going anywhere. We're going to be here as a company. And when the time is right for us to do business, we'll do business together. But it's according to His timing. And I wasn't like, man, I'm going to freak him out. Brett wasn't like, I'm going to freak him out. Just like, this is who we are. And you know what that is? Being a steward of opportunity. It's what we got to do. We can't worry about what's going to be the ripple effect on this. Be a steward of opportunity. Be a steward of opportunity, Brett.
Just real quick, just remind me. I bet somebody in here, if not a lot of people, are like, my gosh, I know specifically countless opportunities or promptings or whatever that we didn't take advantage of or were poor stewards. And I remember, I don't know the time frame, but when you came back, I guess you and Lori had gone duck hunting. Maybe. And you were frustrated because you felt like you weren't as good of a steward in that
moment. Yeah, that's just in January in Arkansas.
But that shows you how good God is. You may have missed it, but God cares more about who your next obedience will bless than withdrawing that call off your life because you did miss it.
Right.
And Sid missed one, and he confessed it and acknowledged it, and God didn't take him off as usable.
Right.
So don't beat yourself up and go get paralyzed if you've missed them, because we've all have.
Yes.
We all have. But God, He's just so good. He's bigger than that.
The main thing I can tell you is keep yourself in play.
That's good. And that's one of my biggest weaknesses. The devil's not my biggest enemy. I am.
Yeah. Because you'll take yourself out of play because you feel like I'm not quite. Guess what? I wasn't down there tearing my, I had my Bible, I wasn't down there tearing my Bible up every night. I had some nights, yeah, I studied the Bible and had my time with the Lord, but I wasn't down there tearing my Bible up every night. But I kept myself in play. And you probably weren't, I knew that, because I know what it's like to be on business trips. But the thing is keep yourself in play. And learn to recognize opportunity. The thing that amazed me on just the, I had one guy and he asked me. I mean, just I had people just asking me random stuff. He said, "Who do you trust in Washington right now?" I said, "Nobody." I said, "I'm a conservative Republican, but I said I trust no one in Washington." I said, "You know where my trust is?" I said, my trust comes from above. My trust is in Him. That we have a role in governing the affairs of this earth, but ultimately He is the one that governs all of this. And He's where my hope is. He's where my... I mean, it's just like... And it's not like I'm super Christian, guys, but I kept myself in play. And God just rocked my world in all this. Just because of just stuff like that. And one thing, for once, the Lord's just like, it's like He just opened up the boldness thing and just like, you know how when you get intoxicated, you'll just say whatever's on your mind, you don't care? Huh? Most of y'all do. I don't know. Most of y'all do. Y'all take a couple shots of courage, you know, you'll do a couple shots of tequila and then you'll go talk to that girl. Right? Or you'll go want to bow up on that guy. Wait a minute, let me get another little bit more liquid courage, and then I'll go bow up. When we get in the... Y'all know what I'm talking about. But when we get filled with the Spirit and filled with the presence, it does the same thing. This is a big deal to God, guys. I looked up... What time is it, somebody? I got a couple more. Six till. Dang. All right. Because I've got to get to where I was talking about it. It might cost more. And I'm going to say one thing, and then I'm going to read through this real quickly, okay? I put our kingdom activity matters to God. It is a big deal to Him. In Revelation, the word works. The word works in Revelation is found 17 times. I counted them today. 17 times, Jeremy. And it's always talking about our... Well, I'll just tell you what the word is. It's the labor or the activity of our hands, of our things that we set in motion. That's what that word works means. It's in there 17 times. It says that we will be judged according to our works. That's verbatim. That we will be judged according to our works. And it also says that our works will follow us. It's a big deal to God, T. Very big deal to Him. It says you're going to be judged. I am confident that you are going to be in heaven. If you're not there, I'll be shocked. I'll say, boy, I missed that one. But I'm confident that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This has nothing to do with heaven and hell, but still, you're going to be at the Bema judgment seat of Christ. And the Word says you're going to be judged by your works. And the Word says that your works will follow you. Okay? The church, I wish I had time. We may get into some of this Sunday. I don't know. I know it's Easter and you're supposed to preach Easter stuff. But Revelation 3. Verse 7 through 13, it's talking to the church at Philadelphia. And basically it says, because of their works, He gave them promise and more opportunity. He said, I know your works, and because of your works, I'm giving you an open door. Here's my thing, guys, that if we are faithful, I understand that we're going to blow it and we're going to drop the ball. But if we keep ourselves in play, God will give us other opportunities. But I want to tell you something. The Word of God bears out that if we will be good stewards of the opportunities that He gives us, you know what will happen? We'll get more opportunities. He will open doors for us. He will open doors for us. I believe by me and Lori saying yes and flying out to Azusa is a big deal. And God put it in her spirit before He put it in mine. I tell you what got me. She said something to me about it about 4 weeks ago now. She said, I want to go to that. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't buy into it at that time. She said, I want to go to that. She said, I want to be a part of that. She said, I believe God's going to do something historic and significant. And she said, I want to be there. And we were over at my brother's house, and out of the blue, my brother said, you and Lori going to Azusa? I'm like, well, matter of fact, she said something about it about a week ago. He said, I'm going to be in Las Vegas. He said, I think I'm going to fly over there to it. And when he asked me, are y'all going to Azusa, something leapt in my spirit, and that's when I bought into it. And I believe it's an opportunity thing, and I think by me saying yes to the opportunity is going to open doors up, and the church at Philadelphia, okay? If He's not telling you to go, don't go. If He does not put it in your spirit and say, Brett House, I want you, don't go, because He'll tell y'all to do some stuff, and He won't tell me to. He might tell you to go wait and stand in line for 13 hours to get a seat to go to Brownsville Assembly of God. You know, one reason that you flourish spiritually in that season in your life, because you are an outstanding steward of opportunity. You're an outstanding steward of opportunity. And so you flourished spiritually. That's why. Wasn't because you prayed more and you studied more and I'm going to put my nose to the grindstone and I'm going to do it. But you were an outstanding steward of opportunity. When God said jump, you said how high? You didn't argue with him about jumping. You see what I'm saying on this, guys? And God will tell you to do small, simple promptings. Nick, it might be simple to share your faith with some kid at Harrelson County High School. Even though the state protocols, you're not supposed to do that. But if he tells you to, you know what you need to do? Lay it out there, baby. If it says you need to pray with this kid, pray with that kid. Be a good steward of opportunity. I want to close with this because this is important and I did not want to forget this. Listen to me. I was talking with Gordon and Anita and it just leapt in my spirit as I was talking to them. I mean, from a spiritual standpoint, they are looking at some property over close to Stedman, and it's actually my Uncle Tommy's property. I didn't know it. She said, your Uncle Thomas Pope? I said, yeah, he lived down in Dixie, Georgia. Yeah, he's got 27 acres and all of that stuff. I said, no. I know he does up here. I was thinking down there. They said it's over on so-and-so road. And I'm like, he bought it in 88. They done all the background, bought it in 88 and all that stuff. And I'm like, he ain't lived in Dixie, Georgia that long and all that. And so finally, it's the land. I said, oh, yeah. I've walked on that land. That's pretty land and all that stuff. Well, they're just having a conniption to buy this land. But he's wanting X amount, and they offered X amount, and there's a gap between X amount and X amount. And I said, y'all be obedient to what the Lord says, and obviously you can only do what seems, what will work in your means. But I said, let me tell you something from experience. As far as land, I'm not talking about a car or something like that. I said, I'm talking about something that is eternal like land. This is what we're talking about. I said, I've had the discussion, the desire of my heart. We've got this land out. We've got 100 acres out in Corinth. The desire of my heart is to expand that. There are properties that adjoin our property on several sides that I want to buy someday. And my dad's mindset and mine are two different things. He's an awesome man, been great in business, very successful and all that stuff. But his mindset is, son, that land ain't worth over $2,500 an acre. I would never pay more than $2,500 an acre. And you know what my mindset is? How many opportunities am I going to have to buy the land that adjoins my property? At the end of the day, if I overpay to get something that is significant, that will be eternal, and what's the big deal about an extra $20,000? I said, the farm that Aaliyah, and I told this to Anita and Gordon, I said, the farm that Aaliyah and Brett live on, I said, when it came up for sale years ago, it was like 30 acres, 31 acres that joins our land and all of that stuff. We thought we had that bought for $204,000. It was at auction. We were bidding on this. Thought it was a done deal. All of a sudden, some rabbit gets on it, and it's like, and I don't know if it was a plant, you know, the auctioneer to drive up the price. Could have been. That stuff happens. The enemy will drive up the price. So where you say, I can't do that. We wound up buying the property for $231,000, $232,000. It was an extra $28,000 for what we thought we were going to get it for. That was 10 years ago, 12 years ago. Today, how significant is that extra $28,000 that we paid? Brett, do you care about that extra $28,000 that got paid? Not at all. You don't care, do you? But you know what I'm saying? If it meant having the place or not having the place, what's $28,000? What I'm saying is, God will give you unique opportunity. He will give you unique opportunity with individuals. Don't get caught up that the price is too high. Costs too much. I'll drive to South Carolina, but I ain't getting on an airplane and flying to L.A. Number one, I didn't lose nothing. I don't like L.A. I've been out there for ball tournaments and stuff like that. I wouldn't give you a nickel for L.A. How many of you know it costs more to fly to L.A. than it does to get in a car and drive to Greenville, South Carolina? Or to Brownsville, Florida? Or Hamilton, Alabama? Or Ottawa, Tennessee? But I can't sit here and say, and I'm not saying that you spend your life living, I'm talking about significant things. God's going to give you unique opportunities, and you know what the devil will do? The devil will come in and say, that's overpriced. It's overpriced. That land's not worth over $2,500 an acre, and they're wanting $28. So you're going to let $300 an acre stand between you and your dream. You're going to let $300 an acre stand between you and something significant. I got news for you, Jeremy Crane. When God bought you, you were overpriced, son. Whew. I was overpriced. What he paid for me was ridiculous. I wasn't worth it. When he filled me with the Spirit, I wasn't worth it. When he stirred in me the last 2 weeks, I wasn't worth it. But you know what he said? There ain't no such thing as overpriced. Because I see a treasure hid in the field. There is no cost too great. And for that soul that you think is too much maintenance, it's not overpriced. For that child you think is too much maintenance, it's not overpriced. Sonny, I came home from work early today. I had some things I wanted to do on the farm. And I say early, it was 4 o'clock, but I was early for me. And I was coming by and your car was already up here. You were getting ready for your kids. It gets expensive sometimes. Cindy, VPS is coming up a few short months. It gets expensive sometimes. There's no such thing as it being overpriced. So don't you dare let the devil talk you out of opportunities and being good stewards of those opportunities. Because it's overpriced. Ted, you know you're crazy. Because you get in your car and you drive to your daughter's house twice a week. And a lot of those days, and she lives down around Peachtree City, guys. A lot of those days, Terry will drive down there and she'll get her granddaughter and she'll drive back to Bremen and spend the day at her house. And before Keely gets off work, she'll get in her car and she'll drive her grandbaby back down there. And then after she sees her and passes her off to mom, she'll get in her car and she'll drive back in one day. And she does it 2 days a week, every week. Stupid, isn't it? Only unless you're a grandmama that loves your grandchild. Don't let the devil tell you it's overpriced. Because you'll have a relationship with Finley that you can't put a price tag on. That's opportunity. That is stewarding opportunity. Because you're going to bond with her when she's young. And when she's older and she's married, she's still going to love her granny. Because of the stewarding the opportunity that you're doing right now. That's what you're doing. You're a professional babysitter. Between the four of them, I pulled over at Mom and Dad's when I was getting ready to come pull in over there. And you know what? There was 3 of them. Great-grandchildren. Dad just turned 84 in his health. He was at the heart doctor one day this week, and they keep great-grandchildren on a near daily basis. But you know what it is? It is tremendous for the great-grandchildren, but it is therapy for my mom and my dad. And let me tell you something, and I'm done. When you steward opportunity, you know what it does? It gives life to you. It might be expensive, but it gives life to you. And Terry, if you don't do those laps, you know what you do? You get bitter because Keely wants you to drive down there all the time. But when you do the laps, you know what it does? It brings life to you. You share with those kids when you're not supposed to and you're stewarding an opportunity. It brings life to you. And when you say yes to the word and obedience like you did last Wednesday night and heard it was off the chain, you know what it does? It brings life to Jeremy Crane. And when you flow in what you flowed in Sunday morning, Brett, that's better for you than 10 hours of study time. Because you stewarded opportunity. It's never too expensive. Because it's eternal. It's eternal. It is not disposable. Disposable stuff, you know what it is? It can be overpriced. But eternal stuff, no such thing. Let's stand to our feet. Jeffrey, can you give me a little bit of Rick Pino, please? Let's just spend a little time with the Lord down here, guys. I missed having communion in this house. Y'all come down. Y'all take communion tonight. Start being keenly aware of opportunity. Come on down. Start being keenly aware of opportunity. And steward it well. Say yes to it. Say yes to it.